Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk Distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Soon, it will be law, fiduciary responsibility. A fiduciary is legally and ethically obligated to act in the best interest of their client. Being a registered investment advisor firm, KPP Financial has carried out this responsibility for its clients for many years. Do you have questions about fiduciary responsibility? Send a note. Click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com. End of commercial. Now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Thursday, April 28th, the 28th of April's edition of InvestTalk. It's 2016, by the way. I always have to put the year because we keep these tapes. We have to. And we keep the recordings of the shows for years because we have to. You know, the SEC wants us to. Our mission is to help you break through the ranks of the average investor in keeping your emotions in check and doing your homework and using tools that are available to you. Study the stocks, understand the economy, and invest your money wisely. Pretty tall order, huh? But we can do it. It can be done. There are several safeguards imposed to help protect everybody's money. You probably know that. Two of them are names that you use initials. Everybody's heard. FDIC and SIPC. What are those things? What do they mean? In the banking and financial industries, there are two forms of insurance. So that's what those things are. Insurance. These insurance protect the individual against fraud or bankruptcy. Of course, the most common of them is the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. This is in the insurance for banks, for the money that you have at a bank that is FDIC insured. It's a $250,000 limit, and it covers all types of deposits, checking, savings, money market at the bank. Now, the other one is SIPC, S-I-P-C. It's one that I'm more closely aligned with. This is insurance protection against loss of cash and securities, such as stocks and bonds, held at a financial institution. That limit is $500,000. And it protects, this insurance protects the custodial function of the broker-dealer. Well, what that means is if the custodian of your money commits fraud or goes bankrupt, this insurance comes into play. And not all institutions have it. They don't. Bernie Madoff's company didn't have it. Okay, and so everybody who invested with him went bankrupt. You know, they got zero. Well, whatever was left they got, but there was no insurance against his fraud. So it's very, very, very important for you. If you want to protect against the Bernie Madoff types of theft, just make sure you have SIPC insurance, SIPC insurance, in the custodian that you're using. The two custodians I have, of course, are SIPC insurance. I wouldn't even consider it not doing that. And neither should you. Now, for more information, to go to SIPC.org or FIDC.gov. You can get more information. We're here to help you make better choices. If we can help you find solutions, please don't hesitate to ask. You can call our 24-hour listener line anytime you want, or you can send me a note through our website at investtalk.com. That's an email that comes directly to me. Just click on Contact Steve. I'll have some suggestions for you on any questions that you have. Let's go to the phone now. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Let's see what question is waiting for us right now.
Hello, Steve. This is William calling from San Jose. I just got a question in regards to how you would protect yourself in the next couple of months here when we experience the go away in May. I'm just wondering if I assume that the market's either going to pull back a little bit or stabilize the way they are now, other funds or perhaps like a short ETF that we could purchase to protect yourself if we assume the market's going to be down? Thank you.
Yes, on our stock managed account, we have 5 short ETFs, and you can buy those in an IRA too, and that is a hedge. So yes, you can. You don't have to sell all your positions to protect yourself from a down market. And there's valid reasons for not selling. Maybe you've had them for a long time, and you have high capital gains. You don't want to sell them, or that you just have no, you don't want to. You just, you know, you've had those companies, you feel very strong, and you feel that even in a downturn, they might hold up pretty well, but you still want to protect yourself a little bit. So yeah, you can protect yourself a hedge, and we've talked about this, and I've told you what we've done, you know. You can hedge yourself against a market fall by using short ETFs. It's not a perfect hedge, and it depends on how much of a hedge you want. Another way is having you hedge yourself by buying assets that are not correlated to stock prices going up or down. What do I mean? Well, currency, gold. Gold and silver. I've told you at ad nauseum here that we have a number of those positions, gold and silver, that have done very, very well this year. I got into them a bit too early because I got them into last year, but this year they are saving us. I had a good day today. The market was down 200 points. I had a good day. So how was your day today? So yeah, hedging really works good if you're a little bit concerned about the market. And then when you feel more comfortable, you can always take the hedge off. Now you gotta be careful. You're not trying to guess the direction of the market. If you try to guess the direction of the market, you're gonna lose. All you can do is say, okay, I've had enough gains for the time being. I wanna lock in these gains and I just wanna be careful. Okay, there's ways to do that, excuse me, and it depends on how careful you want to be. Okay, let's talk to Jerry in Virginia. How are you doing, Jerry?
How are you?
I'm good, thanks for the call.
Hey, I appreciate it. Quick question. In about 3 years, I turn 70 and a half, and uh-huh. We will be required to take the RMDs.
Yep.
And frankly, I don't need the money. I've delayed, did a file and suspend on Social Security, and okay. All of our income needs are met. I'm retired military, Social Security, pension, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Since I don't need the RMD but have to take it, my thought was to use the RMD to pay taxes and do Roth rollovers, a Roth conversion every year. And I just wanted a second opinion on that.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you don't think you're going to need the money and you know it's going to go to your next generation, your children, your grandchildren, or whatever. There's a way, and rolling it to a Roth, what it will do, now I don't think there's an age limitation on doing a Roth. I don't think so. And I'm not positive. Jerry, you might have to talk to an accountant about that. But I think you can open up a Roth anytime you want in your life. I don't think there is any age limitation. And that would be a good way to move the money. You're going to have to pay income tax on it because you got to take he's talking about RMD, required minimum distribution. When you reach age 70 and a half, you have to take a certain amount of money out of your IRAs and your old 401ks, you have to take money out because the government wants its tax dollars. Why they want it? Well, you know as well as I do why they want it. But
right.
But Jerry, yeah, rolling it into a Roth is a way to go because all the growth from a Roth, you'll never have to pay taxes on ever. You know, so if you live to 100, which you probably will, then, you know, you get to grow all that money tax-free.
No. Okay, that was kind of my thought. Yeah. I have to take the money. I might as well use it to pay taxes.
Yeah, so. Yep. Jerry, good thought. Good thought. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, too. I appreciate that. George in San Jose. How you doing, George? Want to talk about Twitter. How you doing?
I'm fine, Steve. Thank you so much for taking my call. Being Twitter almost all-time low, do you think they ever be able, with all these management changes, monetize their platform, and what would be the entry point for them? I listen to from the radio.
Okay,
thank you.
Twitter, everybody, and everybody knows who they are. Manufacturing, commercial, military. Typed in the wrong symbol. T-W-T-R. That's funny. Twitter. Provides a public real-time platform for creation and distribution of content, Twitter, your tweet. And they've been on hard times. They moved down from $60 a year ago, and today they're at $14.64. They got down as low as almost $14, kind of started to recover a little bit, after the fall of the beginning of the year. and just has been doing kind of poorly, and then reported earnings and was disappointed, and then it fell back down to $14.64 from $17. It looks like George, that $14 looks like a very strong support for Twitter. $14. They're still growing pretty fast, not as fast as they were. They're growing now 36. The sales are growing 36% last quarter, 48% the quarter before that. And they've been coming down for eight quarters in a row, sales. But still growing pretty fast. Earnings are going to be 53 cents a share this year and 70 cents a share next year. And it's a $14 stock. So what is, on a PE basis, that's 20. Remember, is that $14, 70 cents? 20 PE. So that tells you that it's not cheap, but in relation to its growth, it's not a bad price either. Okay, so I think that $14 is going to be strong support. I would wait a few days, maybe wait for even a month or two to see if it holds that $14. And if it does, this really would be a good entry point long term. Twitter, everybody. Twitter. TWTR. We're glad you're with us today for Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I invite you to join the conversation. And you can also join in our Invest Talk Insiders if you wanted to. It's a way to have access to a bunch of stuff, good information, commentary, lists of stocks, lists of ETFs, recorded webinars, including the most recent one, Surviving and Prospering in a Volatile Market. You got to count our market volatile. Sign up free at InvestTalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab. Do actively managed funds really pay off? That's going to be one of our main talking points today for many investors and academics, wealth advisors. The jury is in for the time being. It's always interesting. I always find this topic interesting, and I'll tell you why when we get to it. That's going to be the main talking point today. Also, is the risk of a bear market from 2016 very low? Because there was a recent article suggest that it is very low of a bear market in this year. And first, I want to talk about first quarter GDP numbers reported today. Weren't very good. So we'll talk about that. And I want to talk about oil supply and demand. What's happening out there? And if I can get to it, living paycheck to paycheck is usually a choice. How can you change that choice? You know, you can change it. It's not. People think that it's something that they're stuck. No, you're not stuck. Don't think in those terms. You can work your way out. It's hard, yes, but you can work your way out. I've done it. Many people have done it. I know a lot of people who went through it just recently in the recent housing debacle. So it's doable. So let's talk about first quarter GDP numbers. They were down, the growth was 0.5%. And I want to give you a little perspective. That's the lowest it's been in 2 years. Okay, this is first quarter. The prior quarter, fourth quarter last year, was growth of 1.4%. The quarter before that was growth of 2%. The quarter before that was growth of 3.9%. So it went from 3.9 to 2 to 1.4, now 0.5. That is not a good trend. Just pointing it out that that's not a good trend. Now, experts do expect a rebound. They rebound in the second quarter to 2.6%. Usually, the second quarter is pretty darn good. And in the last 2 years, we've had rebounds in the second quarter. That's why everybody's not panicking right now. Now, next week we get the jobs report. I think that's going to be key. I think it's going to be a key because people are going to look at that and think about Q2, quarter two. This is Invest Talk, a place to talk about your money. I'd love to hear about your portfolio. What's your mix of assets? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. Chart. I didn't mention that the market was down 208 for the Dow and down 58 on the NASDAQ and down 19 for the S&P today. Biggest down day in a couple months. Let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Steve. Good. How you doing?
Good. I appreciate your call.
Thank you. Hey, the fear index, VIX. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling that the market would correct in probably the month of May or maybe the month after. Yeah. So what's the best way? So I want to make money when it goes down, right? Okay. So I was trying to trade the VIX. So do you think like the ticker symbol T as a Tom, VIX, would be a good way to bet against the VIX?
Okay, that's a leveraged one, isn't there? There's the VXX, which is just tries to track the VIX, and I think the TVX, is that the double? Exchange-traded
fund?
Yeah,
that's the double.
Yeah, exchange-traded fund that follows twice the performance. Yeah, so that's the 200% leverage VIX. And everybody, let's talk about this for a minute. What is he talking about when Bobby's asking me about the VIX? It's called the Volatility Index, and this is an index of puts and calls. And and as Bobby pointed out, it's called the fear gauge. Usually when everybody's fearful, the puts and calls of options, you know, shrinks and expands depending on how fearful people are or how confident they are. The VIX tries to capture that fear. Okay, that's what it's trying to do. And it's very low right now. Has been for a while. Usually it goes very low when the market's doing well. And then when fear comes into the market, it spikes. And Bobby wants to take advantage of that spike of fear when the market goes down by using the VIX. Now, Bobby, you could just short the market. You're right. You know that with ETFs.
Yeah, okay. Right.
But the VIX is more volatile, and Bobby wants to play even a higher volatility by buying a VIX that tracks at 200%. Now, Bobby, let me warn you. If you take a look at the VIX or the TVIX, compare it with the real VIX, $VIX, the real VIX, you notice that these things go down a lot further than the VIX goes down. They do spike in the fear. They do track that fear, but they don't spike as much as you might think. So you might be taking on more risk, but not get the reward for it when you're using the 2x VIX.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be careful about using the leverage one because of that. And even the VIX, the VXX, the 1x trying to attack it, if you take a look at it, it goes down when everything is good and the real VIX is flat. The VXX, the ETF that tries to track it, goes down more. So just I'm warning you, because I've studied this, that it looks like they don't track the VIX like they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're not as good. Now, it is a good instrument for trying to capture on a short-term basis that spike. It is.
Right.
But you got to be really quick and really careful. Okay?
Okay.
So, Bob, appreciate the call. Appreciate it. Thank you. It's Bobby from Atlanta about the VIX. And it is, you just got to be real, real careful. Because think about, let me put it this way. Looking at the volatility index and looking at the VIX, the VXX, and if you look at when did it spike last? Well, that was our most recent January collapse, right? That's when it spiked up because fear got very, very high, and that was the last time it spiked. Well, over what period of time did it do that? I'm going to tell you, okay, it spiked in January. It went up about for the first 10 or 15 days of that month, then fell back down, then spiked back up the first part of February, then fell. The one before that in the summer, it spiked in 3 or 4 days before it started to come back down. You got to be really careful because once it starts to spike, you got to be watching. You if you go a week without watching, you could have missed the whole move. So you got to be really, really on the ball watching it, you know, and take your profits quickly because it'll head straight back down. It just does. That's the VIX, everybody. 888-99-CHART. That's our phone number. You can call anytime you want. Do actively managed funds really pay off for investors? And there's been many, many writings recently in the recent years how the index funds do much better than actively managed funds. And I always get a little chuckle out of it because it's absolutely true, by the way. It is absolutely true. But I noticed that when there's a bear market, and we've had one since 2009, you know, started to bottom in 2009, that index funds work really, really good, and they get very, very popular. If you stay in the index fund, you'll do fine. But most people can't stay in them when the market falls. So when the market goes down, having an actively managed portfolio is a much smarter move. And then all of a sudden, actively managed portfolios become pretty popular in a down market, in a bear market. And that can last a year or two. It always amazes me. Yes, if you can index and just stay, close, you put it in a drawer and ignore it, you'll do just fine. You can do it. But what if you're old? What if you can't survive volatility? What if you can't wait for the recovery? There's all kinds of issues why you can't. You're listening to Invest Talk. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President, and we thank you for subscribing. Did you know you can access a link to a related article associated with each day's main talking point? Also, you can click back to listings of the last five Invest Talks, each listing the topics and stocks discussed. Just go to investtalk.com. We continue now with this Thursday, April 28th Invest Talk. Check in now with your question, 888-99-CHART. The line is always open.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Steve. How are you? And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you can look at this HELE and give me your opinion. I'm looking for a quick trade.
Okay. Helen of Troy is a very good company. One of my best friends is a top executive there, so I know it pretty well. Marcus hair dryers, mirrors, hairstyling items, facial care appliances, kitchen tools, cutlery, storage products, fans. They do a lot of that kind of thing, and they're big. They're a $2.8 billion company. Its growth has slowed down in recent quarters. Before that, was growing 10 to 20% in the quarters before that. Now, recently, only 2 or 3% in recent quarters. So it's having a heck of a time recently. It's trading in a range, Mike. It trades from $82 or so, low 80s, to the low 100s, and then back down to the low 80s. It's been doing that for a year and a half now. Okay, so it seems like it's going to stay in that range to me. So if you're going to try to trade it, Mike, you don't want to be buying at this level because it's near the high of its range.
Okay.
So if you're going to short it, you know, shorting meaning you expect it to go down, then this would be where you would short it. But if it breaks above $105, you get out because it now is a new high. So it's right near its old, right near its high. So I wouldn't buy it now. It's been trading sideways for almost 2 months. So I'd be very careful with it right now. But if you're going to trade it, like you say, you want to buy it in the low 80s. And I would wait for that. I really would. Okay?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to go there sometime in the next 6 months. I'm not positive because I don't have a crystal ball, but that's been the pattern. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Got a question about when you start taking distributions, either from your 401k or your IRA.
Uh-huh.
Once you start taking them, does it have to be a uniform amount from there on, or can it be different amounts? Or
you can take any amount you want. You can change it. You can stop it. You can do anything you want. Only at age 70 and a half are you required to take a certain amount, required minimum distribution, RMD. But before that, and once you reach retirement age, you can take it out, not take it out, take out a dollar, take out 10,000, anytime, any pattern, any way you want.
Okay, so once you reach 70 and a half, it's automatic. You have to take it out every year then. Right?
You have to take out. You have to take out a certain amount. Yes, and it changes every year.
That's even though you're taken out even before you hit 70.5.
Correct. Yeah. Oh. Yes. You have to take out. Yeah. Appreciate the call, Art. Thank you. Let's go to Bill in San Diego. How you doing, Bill?
Real good, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
Hey, I got a real basic question for you.
Sure.
When you buy a stock, mm-hmm. I know always buy it at a limit, on a limit price. Don't buy it at the market price.
Right.
But do you use the all or nothing option, or do you just let it ride until it gets filled?
Well, I would probably let it ride until it's filled. If you're really concerned that you're getting, because if you don't, it depends on you, of course. It's not that important, Bill. But if you really want that 100 shares, then you say all or nothing. Okay? Because you don't want to be traded several times. In other words, you want to do it all at one time. So if for me, when I have to buy 10,000 or 50,000 shares, I can't do all
right.
or nothing. I can't do all or nothing. Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah, you know, but for you, a smaller guy, you can do all or nothing, and it's pretty easy. Okay.
Well, let me ask you real quick about Hecla, HL. What are you thinking about Hecla right now?
Hecla Mining Corporation. Well, I own that in our managed accounts, and
I was thinking of adding.
I'm not adding, okay? Just so you know, Bill, I'm not adding. Hecla Mining Company, everybody, is engaged in mining and development of gold, silver, zinc, lead properties. It's going to turn around, finally make money next year. It's going to lose a penny a share this year, but it's all about gold for Hecla. And it's been doing very, very well. And Bill, the only reason why I would add to it is it'd have to pull back pretty good, okay? Maybe to $3 a share, $2.80, $3 a share. It's at $4.11 right now. It'd have to pull back. I have five old mining companies, gold mining companies, and I sold half of one a month ago. And of course, now I kick myself because it keeps going up. But I doubled my money, so I didn't want to, what I mean?
I did the same thing. I had a nice position in Hecla. I took some off the table, and the next day it went up 50 cents. Son of a gun.
Yeah. But, gold for me, by the way, is a trade, Bill. It's not a long-term investment for me.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I have some new dates for personal retirement reviews, everybody. These are one-hour informational meetings, informal meetings that you and I talk. I can give you my opinion on your accounts and where you are financially. And, of course, I would love to have you as a client. We talk about that, too, if you're interested. I'll be in San Ramon on May 11th, then San Jose on May 25th. Now, these dates are listed on InvestTalk.com. So if you want to schedule your time, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. Now let's go to Bruce in Fresno. How you doing, Bruce?
Good, Steve. Hey, I'm wondering about a pretty low-priced REIT. It's ABR.
Okay.
B as in boy. I'm wondering, I know it's selling for less than book value, but I don't know if it's that good.
Okay. This is a REIT. Arbor Realty Trust, ABR. Real estate investment trust that invests in real estate related bridge and mezzanine loans, like middle market loans, in the first mortgages and preferred equity. So it's a type of REIT that doesn't own property. It moves money around. Okay. It makes loans. Now, therefore the debt, it would be very high, right, Bruce? Because they borrow money to lend money. That's what they do. They're like a bank. Okay, now, the loan business, how good do you think the loan business is? That's really the question you ask yourself. They pay a pretty high dividend, about 8-9%. They're not issuing new shares or anything like that, so the dividend is being paid out of earnings. But earnings for 2015, well, this is going to be $1.09. 2015, they were $1.09. This year, it's going to be 61 cents a share. Next year, 63. So, Bruce, you have to realize they're probably going to lower their dividend because they're not making enough money. They were making $1.89 2014. You see, so the dividend is not, don't fall in love with the dividend because it's not secure, just so you know. Now, is it a good company to buy? Is it good? As long as you feel that real estate is going to hold up pretty good, it would be fine. If interest rates rise, that doesn't mean it's going to necessarily hurt them because they can pass the cost along. It's whether or not you think real estate, the underlying real estate market, is going to be decent. And so I would say it's a tough question. I don't think interest rates are going to rise any faster in time, and I don't think we're going to go into recession. So I think for the short term that this will hold up pretty well. I don't know if it's not going to skyrocket on you or anything, but it will pay a nice, decent dividend. I will say it. Probably more in the 5 to 7 range going forward. Okay?
All right.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. ABR, everybody. ABR. Okay, is the risk of a bear market in 2016 near zero? Zero risk for a bear market. There's an article that stated that clearly, that there was zero. There was zero risk of a bear market in 2016. A bear market is defined as a fall in the market of 20% or higher. Now, why did they say that? Well, it was all about technicals, and it was all about the advanced decline line and the strength of the advanced decline line and comparing it with recent corrections. And it said that, according to them, based on advanced decline, the market is probably going to go higher, not lower, because of their studies. Now, I think I've warned you a couple of times this. Never, ever, ever look at one study, one part of the market, one part of all the economic data, and base your decision on that. Advanced decline line, I look at it all the time. I look at money flow. You can't imagine how many things I look at. But the advanced decline line, I've looked at that. I also look at the volume on new highs and new lows. The up volume on new highs and up volume on new lows. There's all kinds of ways to look at the market. And for them to say this with any confidence is kind of foolish, in my opinion. Is the odds of a bear market this year good? I would say no. I don't think we're going to go into bear market this year. I don't. But for them to say near zero, I don't think so. Something could happen. Anything could happen. So I think that it's just disingenuous to tell people and write to people and have people read these kinds of things and people believe them. And it's not right. It's not true. It's not near zero. It might be low, but not near zero. So, and to base it on just one study and compare that with recent few years, that makes no sense to me at all. As I'm reading this, I'm thinking, I'm dumbfounded that someone would believe that their statistics would be valid only over the last few years. You got to go back, you got to have many more data points over 100 years. Go back 100 years, then you might have some more validity to your study. But anyways, I don't want to whine too much about it. Let's get back to our 24-hour listen line. You can call it anytime you want. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. I'm calling in a question regarding a stock I currently have shares in. It is GE. Wanted to see what your thoughts are and what the outlook is for the coming year. Would this be a good time to sell or continue to hold? I'll be listening for the answer on your great show. Thank you.
Well, GE is doing quite well. Their sales growth is picking up. It's small because it's such a big company, $287 billion company. But the last four quarters, they've been increasing their growth 1% to 3%, and this most recent quarter, up 6% sales growth. So that's very good. 3% dividend, that's very good. So there's good fundamentals. They're going to make $1.50 this year per share, $1.76 next year. And last year it lost 21 cents. So just so you know, the stock has been slowly rising. It's a bit higher than it was a year ago. So don't expect it to be any kind of great mover, but it's a good, solid, blue chip core holding for a portfolio. Let's put it that way. Will it go down? It will go down with the market, and it will go up with the market. Goes down with the economy, goes up with the economy. It's just the way it works. So you have to decide whether, well, is it worth $30.90 at the making $1.76? And I would tell you that it's probably fairly valued right about now. Fair value. That's GE, General Electric. Let's go to Rabi in Santa Clara. How you doing, B? You want to talk about Apple?
Yeah, hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. So this is on the Apple, and after the results, what is the earnings per share, and what is the right entry point to buy a stock?
Okay. Apple, which we own in our stock managed accounts and have owned for some time, is going to make $8.37 a share this year after it made $9.22 next year, and then last year, in 2015. So it's down a little bit, down about 9% in sales. That's the estimate. I mean, 9% in earnings. That's the estimate this year. But then rebound up 10% next year, which would be logical because of the iPhone cycle. And there's a big worry about sales in China, which fell sharply, and that was one of the reasons why they were disappointed on the earnings. It's yield of 2.4%. They're hinting that they're going to do something with that massive cash hoard, that they might buy something, and that actually worries me a little bit. If it holds $92, remember it's right now $94.83. That is strong support, $92. So if it holds that area, and I would wait a few weeks, Ruby, and see, that would be a very good buy point on a chart if it holds it. So wait a few weeks and see if it holds, because it's still not done going down yet. So I wouldn't be in a rush to jump in. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Ruby. Appreciate the call. That's Apple. AAPL is a symbol, buddy. Apple. Remember, they're in the midst of their phone cycle. The cycle will pick back up in about, let's see, would it be next year? They're always every time in their mid-cycle of their Apple phones, and they usually get a major upgrade every 2 years. The stock doesn't perform well. And this is probably the worst time of the year for Apple stocks. Don't get too excited about recent fall. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. We still have time for your question. We'll get it before the hour's up. We'll get to you. 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART. Oil supply and demand. We know the oil prices recovered, about $45. They got as low as about $26, $27 in the very low part of the price of early this year, and then it's recovered ever since. Now, if you notice, the dollar has fallen ever since they raised interest rates in December. Usually you would think if our Fed raised interest rates, the dollar would strengthen, but it's gotten weaker, probably because the economy has gotten weaker. But the question is, and why I'm talking about the dollar versus and the oil, because if the dollar gets weak, the oil is traded worldwide in dollars. If the dollar gets weak, oil prices will go up. And the dollar did get weak, oil prices have gone up. So what happens if the dollar gets stronger? Oil prices will probably tumble. But remember, always in the background, there is the fundamentals of supply and demand. Supply and demand of oil. And this week, reported today, there was a huge buildup of supply. Okay. And did you know that we're one of the largest importers of oil from Saudi Arabia, and it was up 9% in the first quarter? Up 9% imports of oil versus first quarter a year ago, anyways, up 9%. Oil-producing states are really hurting because, oil really fell hard from its high, but their financials are hurting. But the oil shell oil producers are still producing oil. And, looks like the the fear of, and I've talked about this, about how much there's going to be some really blood on the streets as far as bonds not being paid back by Shell Oil, and you needed a higher oil price. Well, they're getting a little bit higher, and they've been getting better and better, squeezing out the costs of producing oil. So they're hanging in there. There are bankruptcies, and there's more this year than last year, but not nearly as much as the industry expected or that I thought there would be as well. So they're hanging in there. If oil prices can stay high, then they're going to continue producing oil. We have a glut of oil. Think about it. EU economies are not growing. As a matter of fact, the growth that they did have is shrinking. The ones that are growing, their growth is shrinking. China's demand is still rising, but the speed of the demand is slowing. So the rise in demand is still rising, but that rise is slowing. Thus, you got oil everywhere. Think about the new supply coming online with Iran. Oil prices are not going to go very high. They're not. I predict that maybe $60 a barrel this year. We might see that later in the year. It's possible. We're at 45 now. But I can see it just hanging around this amount also. Going down to 30, going up to 50. I can see that. 30 to 60 for the next umpteen years. So, what does that mean? Well, that means we are going to be awash in oil, and you as consumers are going to be paying fairly low costs at the pump. Now, here in California, we have had to pay, we probably didn't notice it because oil prices fell, but we had our taxes increase dramatically here on oil. But most people didn't even think about it because oil prices were falling, taxes went up. So we pay pretty high compared to the rest of the country here in California. We pay pretty high oil price. But the supply and demand always trumps everything else when it comes to pricing of stuff. And we have plenty of supply. So I don't think anybody needs to worry about high gasoline prices for a while. Now let's try to answer one more question before we have to go. 888-99-CHART is our 24-hour listener line number.
Hi, this is John from Walnut Creek. I was calling to get your opinion on KKR. I was wondering if you could tell me when a good buy point would be. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, KKR is KKR and Company provides global alternative asset management and capital market transaction services to institutional investors. It's in the financial industry, everybody. It's in investments. Okay, so asset management and capital market transaction services. Okay, it's going to make 77 cents this year. It's going to make $2.23 next year. It looks like a good price to get in. It's at $13.92. I think this is a good place to get into this stock right now. I do. It is volatile as far as sales, but at fairly reasonably priced at $13.92. It's a $6 billion company. This is the buy point. Time to close it up. If you have a question you want to ask me directly, you're welcome to send me a note, and I will get back to you. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's get together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.